post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the local football half hour. We're talking to Danny Marlow from Sunday Soccer later on in the show. How are you, Danny? Stay with us. And Fitz and Haptamarian is still here. We've also got all the news from, hopefully from the A-League bid. We're going to be joined by Ivan Slavic in a few moments. We're going to have an interview with Adelaide United's Stephanie Tokic. And we've got some local news for you. So thank you to Capital Football for supporting and sponsoring this show. It's a big week in football. Fitz, and what's happening locally?
Locally, we've got...
on your sheet of paper, mate. You've got to find it.
Well, Canberra bid leader Ivan Slavic is in Sydney today to talk to the FFA, and we'll hear from that. And the Canberra A-League bus trip to Sydney versus Perth. That's you can go onto the website www.ateam4canberra.com and sign up there to travel with a busload of people.
Okay, we're going to be joined now by Ivan Slavic. Ivan, can you hear me? Not yet, hold on. Okay, we're joined now by Canberra A-League bid leader Ivan Slavic. Ivan, can you hear me? No.
You hear me?
Oh, Ivan, there you are, your beautiful tones. I can hear you now.
How are you going?
Not bad. Now, Ivan, the Canberra A-League bid had an update meeting with the FFA. Can you just let us know what went on? The Canberra listeners are desperate to know.
Oh, okay. Well, so there was four of us there. Terry Webber, the managing partner for PricewaterhouseCoopers. Franz Vapner, who's the advisor to Melissa Fisher, who your listeners would know... is a supporter of the A-League bid, and Neil Guthrie, the Group General Manager of Canberra Stadium and Events and Tourism. So we met with Ben Buckley, the CEO, John O'Sullivan, the General Manager of Commercial, Rob Abernethy, who runs the operations, and their legal counsel, and we basically went through where the Canberra A-League bid's up to in terms of financial, commercial, sponsorships, in terms of the market research that we've conducted, which indicates that we can get up to 15,000 people attending a Canberra A-League game, the community support, foundation memberships, etc., etc. So it was a very good meeting, I should say. I'm just watching that Australia preview, so I've got a movie on my mind, my apologies.
Now, what was Ivan? What was the sort of FFA's take on the meeting? Were they asking questions or were they just listening? How did they approach it?
Yeah, no, look, they asked a huge amount of questions, Eamon. So I believe we answered it very well. The official response from the FFA is that they were extremely impressed with our progress and with our presentation. They believe that we've made fantastic progress with our A-League bid and extremely impressed overall. So I think we've really definitely made our mark. The team and everyone in Canberra and the region have really stepped up to the plate, I believe.
So did they give any indication of the where we were in terms against other bids or indeed are, you know, with the progress of other bids?
Yeah, look, they did. It's probably something I can't go into too much. All I can say is that I'm happy. So, okay. Probably all I can say.
That's right. We won't push you too hard on that one, Ivan. And I guess for the Canberra League bid, then what do we have to do, or what's next? I mean, do we just, you know, what did they tell us what we have to do, or do we, what do we do?
Yeah, look, one interesting aspect that they referred to was, as your listeners would know, we've had our foundation memberships running. We had the A-Team for Canberra that Anthony Hatton set up. So we've had over 1,000 foundation members sign up, if you include the corporate foundation supporters. But an interesting take that the FFA had is that they'd love to see a list of people interested in supporting an A-League team and not necessarily the financial side. They think the financial side's fantastic. But if we could get, 10,000 plus people to to sign nearly like a petition or to go, you know, continue that online process that we'd set up through the 18 for Canberra website, that would certainly be viewed very positively by the FFA.
Right.
And there's a whole heap of other suggestions in terms of our constitution, our makeup, and so forth, which I won't bore your listeners with, but it was clear the type of questions that they were asking us were more clarification, more supportive of our bid, and I'm feeling very, very positive that your listeners will be going to an A-League game for an A-League team in Canberra in the very near future.
Can't wait. Fantastic, Ivan. And so what do you have to do? Will the committee go away and think about the next strategy, or are you just what's your thoughts there, Ivan?
Yeah, look, the FFA have indicated that in terms of a decision for the 12th team will be sometime probably around March, April in the new year. They do have an FFA board meeting, so they'll be updating their board with the likes of Frank Lowy and so forth soon in terms of where they believe the bids are. We believe our competition is West Sydney, Wollongong, Tasmania. I think we're very well placed. I think the important thing is for us is to continue to get foundation members. So if any of your listeners haven't signed up as a foundation member, I mean, you know, what are you waiting for? It's something you need to do, and that'll help support our bid. You know, continuing to shore up the investor support, getting more sponsors. If I can get a major sponsor for the team, we've got a number of sponsors that are coming on board in the 100,000 sort of range, but a major sponsor is, you know, around $500,000 a year, so we need to get a major sponsor. So if any of your listeners there or work for a big corporate and they're the decision maker, they should give me a call.
Okay, and what about the longevity of the decision? Obviously not until March, kind of. I mean, my feeling is, I mean, that kind of works against us a little bit in terms of someone like Western Sydney getting their act together. What are your thoughts?
Possibly. Possibly, but the way I've approached this, Eamon, is to very much focus on what we are doing, and I think a major plus for us versus West Sydney, for example, is, you know, Sydney's already represented, and to not have an elite football team in a region that represents some 700,000 to 800,000 people, in my view, would be a real hole in their business strategy, because we all know that league, union, AFL, basketball is well represented in the region at an elite level, but football's not represented at an elite level. So, look, I think it makes good business sense for the A-League to expand to Canberra and the region. What they need is a credible bid. We've certainly provided that to them. So I'm feeling very confident that we'll get up.
Well, that's great news, Ivan, and, you know, we'll keep pushing on the show. Thanks very much for your update.
Absolutely, and thanks once again to all your listeners. It's your listeners that really make a difference in terms of our bid for an A-League team in Canberra.
And we'll let you get back to your movie.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, no worries, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Canberra bid leader Ivan Slavich. Danny Fitzham, what are your thoughts there? Good news?
Good news to some extent, but we thought we'd be made a little bit, I guess, would find out one way or another that we're in or not.
Yeah, I don't think my other sources, because we don't just go through Ivan, of course, but my other sources say that we're way ahead of everybody else financially. And my concern is that obviously Western Sydney, the longer the Western Sydney have, the more chance they have to get the money to outdo us. So whilst we're ahead, we need to keep ahead. Yep, I guess Ivan will be driving his foundation membership campaign further and also trying to get other people to sign up as supporters. So it's good stuff. OK, we're going to talk Canberra United. We've got an interview with Steph Tokic. Steph is a Canberra ACTAS player who plays or is from Canberra and studies at Canberra University, but she signed for Adelaide United. She's back in town on the weekend, obviously, to play against Canberra United in the TV game. We hope to have a huge crowd out there. I'm sure we will. This is what Steph Tokic had to say. I'm joined now by Stephanie Tockett. Stephanie plays for Adelaide United, and she's from Canberra, and she's coming back to Canberra for this weekend's game. Steph, what are your thoughts on returning to your city?
Oh, I think it's going to be a great experience. I'm playing in a home crowd and away, but against my home team, so it's going to be tough playing against my friends and trying to be as competitive as I can. But it's football, and on the field, it's different.
Sure is.
Can't wait.
Now, you played, you're in the ACTAS squad, and I guess most Canberrans would have sort of expected you to make the grade into the Canberra United team. What made you move to Adelaide?
Well, I had the option to travel away, and I thought the experience of travelling away to play with different people, different coach, different team, like meet new people, and Adelaide United has a big, like their club is, it's well known, and I don't know, the opportunity just to travel and feel that professional side of football is just a different opportunity. And of course, they offered me my starting position, so nothing could really beat that, just to play as much as I could.
Sure. Now, playing in Adelaide, your season, you're just a below Canberra on the table. How have you found the standard and the season for you so far?
Oh, yeah, I think the standard's been set pretty high. It's very tough, every game. You don't know what to expect from every team. It's a great mix of all the national players and every team, so it's always going to be hard to... You can't exactly judge any team because they'll surprise you like we did on the weekend against Perth.
Certainly did. So, Steph, you've moved... You're living over in Adelaide full-time, are you?
No, I've just come down training. When I can, because of university, when I don't have university, I come down here and train, but otherwise... I've been down almost every week, but it hasn't been permanent, just for a few days, and then I come back and travel away, go back down to play or travel away with the team. But when uni finishes, I'm planning to come down here and just train and decide and just concentrate on the team, because it's difficult to play on the field with the team if you haven't been training with them, and they play a different style of football, so you've just got to adapt, and training with them definitely helps.
And which university are you at in Canberra? And
the University of Canberra.
And what are you studying? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. And what are you studying, Steph?
Commerce and Communications, Advertising and Marketing.
Okay, so how does that fit in? I mean, obviously, you've got to try and keep fit while you're in Canberra. Are you able to train with anybody in Canberra, or are you just doing your fitness work when you go to Adelaide?
I do fitness work whenever I can, but when I come down to Canberra, I train with... Robbie Hooker, but with a younger squad, because the ACTAS girls train with Canberra United, and I'm not supposed to be training with them.
Of course. So has that caused any problems with Robbie, the fact that you've moved to Adelaide, or it's all okay?
It's all right, but I still get little comments here and there, but it doesn't affect me.
And so this weekend it's going to be an interesting game for you, isn't it? Playing presumably in front of your family and also lots of friends on the wearing the green.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll be wearing red my family to support me and maybe my friends. But, it doesn't faze me as long as my friends are out there watching me.
Absolutely. And you're going to be live on TV. Steph, what position do you normally play just for Canberra listeners?
Striker.
And who should we look out for in the Adelaide team? Who is a particular threat for the
Canberra? We've got a few girls out from injuries. They're having surgery and three yellow cards. So we've got Sandra Scalzi. She's out for an injury. And Victoria Balamenos, but she has three yellow cards, so she misses this game. But we have Diane Aligich in the defence.
Of course, yeah.
She's definitely one to watch. And Sharon Black.
Yep.
She's a attacking midfield, and she's previously played for the Matildas, and she's got a great, great free kick. So.
Well, we're expecting a great crowd, and Steph, even though you're playing for Adelaide, we know you're from Canberra, and we hope you have a fantastic game.
Thank you.
We just hope you lose, Steph, okay? Okay, good luck. Enjoy the game.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
I don't know why Steph was laughing when I said I hope she loses, because I do hope she loses. So it's Canberra United versus Adelaide United on the telly, ABC, 4 o'clock live. But set your video, get out there in your green, go and support the team. Let's see if we can get more than 1,600 people at the game this weekend. I'm sure we can. Now, what are your thoughts, guys? It's a boys' thing. Are we talking women's football? What do we reckon? Are we going to win?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Of course we're going to win. We've flogged Melbourne 1-0, and now we're going to flog Adelaide. Adelaide, good news for Canberra is one of their players, Sarah Scalzi, I think, the top scorer, she's out, injured. Good news. Victoria Balaminos, the Matilda, out, suspended. So there's two of the key strikers gone. That's
Oh, we're going to win anyway, so it might be 2-0 now.
That's right. I think Chrissy Walters had a few injury problems on the weekend, but hopefully she'll be right to play. So we've got all our young Matildas back this time, kind of fresh, ready to go. So, yeah, hopefully we can do it. And so wear your green, get out there on the telly. It's a great chance to shout for Canberra United women's team and also make a big noise for the Canberra A-League team. The more people that from the FFA that see the crowd wearing green, the better our chances, I reckon. OK, that's 4 o'clock at McKellar on
Saturday,
that's it. Okay, now we're talking to Danny Marlow. Danny is a football organiser of www.sundaysoccer.org. Is that correct, Danny?
That's the one, absolutely correct.
Now, Danny, you're a bit of an unusual guy because most... Now, it gets worse. Most people, when they're, you know, they're playing a structured competition, you've organised something outside of the normal realms of capital football. Did you start the comp or how did it...
No, I wasn't responsible for starting the competition. The competition began for two seasons when I effectively took over from the organiser at the time. It started out then as a very small undertaking and has kind of grown since.
So, first, okay, I've got to ask you this. Why did you take it over, Danny? No one takes over a football comp.
Oh, it's, as you just introduced me as a football organiser, I mean, that speaks volumes in itself. Maybe illusions of grandeur. No, actually, it sounds a bit twee, but to be part of a community effort for something and really to get people involved in a sport that is growing in Australia and really be able to support that.
Well, I think it's a fantastic thing that you're doing. I've had a look at the website. How many teams have you got now?
We have 26 teams now. We would have had more, but we had to turn away a few teams this season just because of venue accommodation.
So you normally play where... Ainslie.
We've always historically played at the Ainslie Oval on some grass pitches there, but we've had to move to the National Hockey Centre at Lynham for this season, and it's going really well. We have 26 teams, as I say. It started out with I think 6 or 8 teams, and we've got bigger every season.
And how long have you been going for?
We've been going for three and a half years now, and we actually play two seasons. In the year as well, we play a winter and a summer comp
non-stop. So what sort of format is it? It's not 11-a-side, is it?
No, it's not. The format is quite unique in Canberra. Actually, it's a 7-a-side competition
every Sunday afternoon.
Every Sunday afternoon, almost entirely throughout the year. With the two seasons, we have an off season of about 4 weeks. So there's not a lot of time for off-season training or the
transfer market. Who plays in this comp? I mean, obviously there's capital football comps going with thousands, if not millions, of players playing in that. But you've still got 26 teams running.
That's right. Yeah, we have currently over 450 players. Now, some of those players are people who play in other leagues in Canberra, or people who may, for example, play in state during the winter and want to have a bit of a run in the off-season. But we also have a lot of people who play and... It's the kind of league where they can participate without feeling that they're being too serious about playing football. So we've got a lot of people interested after the last World Cup. They got involved.
Men and women?
Men and women. It's a mixed league.
So are all teams mixed? Do they have to be mixed?
They do. So it's a 7-a-side competition played on half-size pitches with hockey goals. So, it's
so not too much running?
Not too much running. No contact. Very friendly. Very social. It's Sunday soccer, so it's
But I've played a lot of social soccer in my past.
I know you're about to say,
and it's not always as social as that, is it?
It's true. There are very rarely occasions where, as an organizer, I may have to intervene and have a quiet word with some of the. More vigorous players who are probably not quite as fast and fit as they used to be and maybe have a larger belly. So
Mainly blokes, would that be?
Mainly. There are a few larger ladies as well.
No, but I mean that you have to step in and sort of sort out.
There have been Very, very few incidences.
Okay.
Usually just a case of, taking them aside and having a walk.
So it's a great social event, isn't it, bringing all these people together? So how much time does it take for you, Donnie, during the week?
During the week, not a lot of work, really. It's mostly the off-season preparation, getting the venue ready, getting the teams registered, getting players registered and hiring pitches, making sure we have the venue sorted and doing the draw. That takes a bit of work at the start, but once it's there and running and all the draws and all the results are up there on the website, so it runs itself.
Is there a star player that has played in the comp ever? Anybody that you would... Jessica Salvage is still up there, apparently sitting there in the background.
That's right. Jessica's in the studio and happens to be my partner too. She's the best player in the comp. She was a best and fairest just a couple of seasons ago. And I'd like
best
to add
and
Eamon,
fairest.
I
thought the try hard award, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. No, of course not.
No.
I'd actually like to add that it's a very social competition and can also be a bit of a matchmaking service. So I actually met Jessica through the league.
Now we're talking. Oh, you met Jessica through the league. So fantastic. So I can see it now. Every Sunday afternoon, Canberrans come out of their offices. They don't know what to do on the weekend. Where to meet? They're from another town or maybe another country.
Go to the pub.
Go to play social soccer and meet your partner. I love it.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
So it's a flirting. Football. Football was played as well.
There's a little bit of football played too as well. There's been a bit of an increase in interest this season because the new venue has a bar as well. So that's
So an added attraction really to meet somebody.
That's right. That's right. And dissect the game afterwards. And
fantastic.
It's good.
So you've got the. You're on the AstroTurf as well, I believe.
We are. It's the first time, and it's been a bit of a moot point for many players who used to play on the grass and they had the studs, and suddenly they're having to put their sand shoes on and see how they go.
We don't like change, do we?
That's absolutely, no. Absolutely.
Now, Donnie, you've obviously had a bit of a passion for football. Grew up in England. Has football always been your thing, or...?
It was one of these things where it's ubiquitous in the UK. It's just everywhere. There's no other sport, really. And I only really realised that when I came to Australia and noticed that there were so many other sports here. that of course, in the UK, it was just football. My team, I grew up in the 80s, so my team was Liverpool.
So you like to support a winning team?
That's right, glory supporter. But then again,
because you lived in Liverpool, obviously, with your accent, just outside. Where is it? Somewhere about 200 miles away.
Just outside in Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes, right? You didn't have a team, did you?
We didn't. It's in fact the MK Dons, who are now very successful, would be local team for me. Didn't exist when I lived there, but they're doing very well, and it's a very similar situation to the possible Canberra League team as well, in terms of. There wasn't any team for the local people of the town to support. Very similar sized town to Canberra as well in terms of population. And there was always that decision about who you would support. Do you support one of the other close local teams, or do you go for one of the big teams, your glory supporter like me, and go for Liverpool?
So why did you go for Liverpool?
They were the team of the 80s, weren't they? Kenny Dalglish at that.
Oh, moment. Kenny, well, you nicked him from Celtic, mate.
That's
I tell you what, for $440,000, he went downhill once he went to Liverpool, but there you go. He was fantastic, wasn't he, with Rush and those guys.
Fantastic.
So your favourite Liverpool game?
Oh, there are too many to list.
Don't list them then.
It's certainly not a more recent game. They're not doing so well at the moment.
No,
although this season they've had a good start.
They have. And your favourite Liverpool players of all time, who would you go for?
Rush would have to be up there. John Aldridge.
John Aldridge, yeah.
Great strikers.
Yeah, they were good strikers, weren't they? What about Johnny Barnes? I like when Beardsley and Barnes.
Well, Barnes also, he came from Watford, which is very close to Milton Keynes, where I'm from. So there was the local link. But, Barnes was he was one of my favourite players. And he also had a starring role in the Anfield rap as well. When they actually released a rap.
I remember that
was back in the day when proper football teams had
had
songs as well.
Well, we're going to start a Canberra A-League song, so listeners can be aware of that. There's people we're going to have a little competition to try and get an anthem for a song for Canberra. So maybe, I don't know, maybe a Canberra rap. A Liverpool-inspired Canberra rap.
Sounds fantastic.
Since you've been in Australia, you followed the football here, have you?
Since the A-League has come up, it's really piqued my interest. Before that, it was internationals, and it was keeping in touch with, I guess, the Premier League back in the UK. But But then that means a lot of late nights. So it's great to see a local football.
And you're still doing a few late nights, are you, even as you're getting a little bit older?
Absolutely. I was listening to the show on the way here, and Fitzam said that he wasn't sure how he was going to get up on Thursday for the Bahrain match. But for me, that's part of watching football in Australia, is watching it during the night.
Well, it is. And I suppose for the first 20 years I was in Australia, it was all about getting up in the night. But I love the fact that I don't have to get up anymore, only for Socceroos games, because you can watch the O-League at 7:30. And for me, that's kind of...
That's right.
It's been fantastic. I don't watch any English Premier League anymore. Can I say that on it?
Well, especially in the last couple of years, we've been spoiled for the number of games that we can watch.
We have. There's so many, isn't there?
Any time of the day.
So you're going to get up, Danny, on Thursday morning?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there watching.
You wouldn't miss it. So, no, you're a bit of an Englishman, I know, I can tell.
Is it the accent or the white skin?
Yeah, something like that. So how does it fit, and the fact that you call it soccer, not football, in your soccer comp.
thanks for noticing.
Yeah. So how does it feel, your English passion for, I suppose, the England national team against the Socceroos? I mean, how do you marry those two?
Yeah, very, very good question. And I always wondered how I'd kind of assimilate to a new country and therefore a new football team. And actually, at the last World Cup, I found myself really getting behind the Socceroos much more than I ever would have in the past, and really finding myself quite disappointed with the typical performance of the English team, which was pretty much grinding out draws. And it wasn't very positive football. And whereas the Socceroos, they had that can-do attitude. And I remember watching the game against Japan, where I think they got up 3-1, was it?
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic game. And I went to the official supporters club venue, and we were there watching the game. And there was just this passion and this real fervour for the team. And I really got behind that.
What about the English bit of you? Are you still get up for the England games, or...?
You know, it's been a while since I've done that.
Right, so you're a true Aussie.
Wow, I don't know about that.
You sound like a true Aussie. I'm a bit the same. I mean, as soon as in fact, when I arrived here, I just straight away got on the Australian bandwagon in 1991. That was it for me, because I was into football, and I just thought, I'm in Australia. But I guess being a little bit Irish, even though I grew up in England, I didn't have quite the same connection with England. In fact, now that I mention it, I'm always cheering against England now that I think about it. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's quite easy to support Australia.
Someone other than...
Yeah. Okay, so any big games that you've been to in your career?
The biggest game that I went to was actually... it was a local team of mine in 1988. Luton Town beat Arsenal 3-2 in the Littlewoods Cup final, which was the League Cup final.
Wow.
Wembley.
Wembley Stadium.
That's right.
You've got a lot of teams, haven't you?
I was there.
Luton, Socceroos, Liverpool.
I mean, you've got to hedge your bets.
Yeah.
That way you find glory somehow.
And when you add Canberra to the list and all the rest of it, you're going to have a heap of teams. There'll never be a year go by where you won't win.
When Canberra's in the list, then that's the only one I'll need, because, of course, it's going to be a team of champions.
Now, we've had a bit of a discussion off air a couple of days ago about video refs. I see in the rugby league they're getting two refs on the pitch. Video refs, Danny, you're all for it, are you?
I'm absolutely for it. I almost can't understand any arguments against it. I know the strongest argument is about.
What are you going to do? Come on, Danny. The game's going on. You know, there's a goal scored. It's Celtic versus Rangers. You know, Celtic have scored again. The referee says, "Oh, hang on, we'll take time out." And while we're taking time out, the Rangers go down and score another one. So what do? We hold up the play?
It's one of these things where it's not rugby league we're talking about here. We're not talking about 100 points in a game. And so, let's face it, most football matches are decided by single goal. And so there's a lot
sounds
riding
like Liverpool,
on that
Liverpool, sounds
decision.
Like a Liverpool fan, doesn't it? Okay. But what are you going to do? Are you going to, stop the game after the goal goes in and we go, oh, hang on.
There was a tackle behind there.
Yeah. Or did the ball cross the line? Come on, Danny, I'm putting you on the spot now, mate.
Okay, I think it's about when there's an element of doubt. I think if there's doubt in a decision...
In Celtic Rangers games, mate, unless the ball breaks the back of the net, there's always doubt.
Especially from what we've seen against in some rugby games where they basically... refs are now calling the video ref for everything that happens on the field, almost.
That's right, yeah.
That will, I think... My problem with it is just it'll take away too much from the game.
But as you say, Donnie, it's an important point because obviously with the money involved in the game and there's so few decisions that are important. So would you just have it for goals or penalty decisions?
I would roll it out to whole swath of aspects of the game. I mean, if I can give you an example, look at the last World Cup and the Socceroos versus Italy. And you may remember a very key decision that happened late in the game. If that had gone to a video referee, we'd probably have a different outcome.
Mm, that's an interesting one, isn't it? But, you know, how long would you want to wait? And would you have got a different outcome?
Because I mean, 4 years.
4 years. Yeah. Okay. That's one decision that probably could have gone to a video ref. But obviously, if a goal goes over the line, and yeah, I mean, I just don't want the game held up. But the beautiful thing about football is everyone, Danny, is entitled to their opinion, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Even though we don't always agree. So yeah, I think we'll leave. You want the last word?
Bring in goal line technology and maybe let the Canberra A-League team be a forerunner for it. How about that?
Okay, that's the last word. Good on you, Danny. Thanks very much. That sounds like a good idea. All right, well, that's Danny Marlowe from Sunday Soccer. No place for you in Sunday Soccer at the moment, but next season I'm sure there will be. Ever expanding competition. So check out the website, www.sundaysoccer.org. And thanks very much, Danny, for coming in and sharing your football journey with us.
Thanks.
Okay, and Fitzsim, thanks to you for joining us, and hopefully you'll be back with Michelle next week.
We'll be back.
And if you're playing Sunday Soccer this week, remember, whether you're playing in big goals or little goals, hockey goals, whatever, if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.